We're coming up on New Year's weekend, and I need to share this statistic with you, not to scare you, but to just bring some reality to the conversation. According to the National Safety Council, this year, 2023, they estimate about 375 people may die on U.S. roads this New Year's Day holiday period, so over the weekend. The estimate is down, actually, about 8% from what was projected last year, but regardless, we're talking about people's lives at risk on the roadways or even at parties. So we wanted to bring one of our law enforcement experts on the show to make sure that you are as safe as possible and you get to really enjoy this upcoming weekend. So we have on the show with us Bridgeport's Police Chief Roderick Porter. Merry Christmas to you, Chief Porter, and early Happy New Year to you. Thank you for taking the time and coming on WACC. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Melissa. Same to you.
So let's start with the very obvious, drinking and driving, right? I think that's one of the biggest fears that police, that, you know, anybody out on the roadways are nervous about. What can you tell us?
So those statistics that you just mentioned are sobering. So I just think it just highlights the importance of being responsible and practicing good behaviors on the roadway. So obviously, you know, no drinking and driving, you know, have a designated driver. And have a plan. If you're going out, you know, have a plan. If you think you're going to drink too much, have an Uber, call for an Uber, or have a friend that could transport you. Also, be responsible for others, right? If you see someone who may have had too much to drink, make sure you take their keys. Just practice good, responsible behaviors so we can reduce that number that you mentioned.
Have we seen a shift, Chief Porter, in police departments working with ride shares or police departments talking to local bars and places where people will drink? Because I have noticed a big change where some municipalities have even offered free ride share rides for people in their towns and cities during the holiday stretch. I've noticed that bars and places where you can, you know, where you like to drink, if you're at like a restaurant or something, they've started cutting people off. Like, I feel people are being more, are taking more proactive measures ahead of these types of holidays as of recent. Do you see that, or?
Yeah, I would say I do see that. And I think in large part, obviously we want people to be safe, and also the liability on establishments that might serve alcohol to people. And I think things like that. And what we've done recently, we met with some of our downtown bar and nightclub owners just to talk about responsible behavior and being responsible owners as well. So I do see a more proactive approach to addressing these issues. Yes.
So again, we have Bridgeport's Police Chief Roderick Porter here, and we're talking about prepping for New Year's and some of the celebrations that come with that holiday. What about getting high behind the wheel? That's another concern.
Yeah, same thing. It's, you know, no different than alcohol. Obviously, you know, certain behaviors you do not need to, you know, undertake if you're going to be behind the wheel. You shouldn't do those anyway, but definitely if you're going to be behind the wheel. So be responsible. Have designated drivers. Use a ride share. Take someone's keys. I think all those are just things that we need to practice during this time. And not just this time, but always.
What do you think about this, Chief Porter? Because I've been debating this. So even if you're a responsible driver, if you're a responsible person, you went out and you said, you know what, I'm going to be the designated driver. Unless you're at a place, a business, for example, you're at a bar or a club or something, unless you're somewhere where you literally can't hunker down for the night, what do you think about making plans to stay wherever you're going? And the reason I ask that is not so much because of the temptation of drinking and that plans change. It's the fear of wrong way drivers. We have seen in the last couple of years, you can kind of attest to this, that especially since the pandemic, we've seen more wrong way driving crashes in Connecticut resulting in deaths. And one of the biggest reasons for the wrong way crashes, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, is because more and more people are drinking and getting behind the wheel. So what about even planning for wherever your place is going to be that night? If you're not leaving at a reasonable hour, I don't know if it's a great idea to be driving in the middle of the night, because even if you've got it together, I don't trust wrong way drivers, to be blunt.
Yeah, you know, Melissa, I would agree. If you have the ability to hunker down where you are, get a hotel room or stay where you are, if you're at a friend's house or a relative's house, that wouldn't be a bad idea, because we know some of the most times where accidents occur are between 8 a.m. and I'm sorry, 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. So during those times on New Year's Eve, there are a lot of distracted drivers out there. So the potential for something occurring is high. And if you do have to drive, you need to not just be aware of how you're driving. You need to watch other people driving around you and look ahead to see how they're driving as well. So very interesting point, Melissa.
So, again, we have Chief Roderick Porter here, the police chief for the Bridgeport Police Department, and we're talking about being prepared for New Year's. Now, let's talk about the party, right? All right, so I heard Chief Porter, okay, I'm going to go to the party. I'm going to hunker down. I'm going to do my thing. Fine. Now, you're drinking, especially, let's be honest, might have some underage drinkers. We know you're not supposed to do that, but it happens, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if you could speak to the people who are nervous in those situations where, especially if you have underage drinking going on at your home, obviously we know you shouldn't, but if you do, reporting if someone passes out, because we've heard these awful stories where someone drinks too much, passes out, and passes away in their sleep because they choke on their vomit. I mean, I don't mean to get graphic, but I think there's a bigger fear of I don't want to report it and get in trouble versus a life could be at risk if somebody passes out drunk.
Yeah, so I would say obviously there is liability at hand, but the sanctity and the safe the protecting their life is more important than anything. So I would hope that everyone would be responsible and would call for medical attention and not ignore that situation because of the fear of being held liable. But first, I would hope that no one would serve alcohol to minors. But if you do, or if they are at a place and they do become sick, please call medical response, and we'll just deal with the consequences as it goes. But preserving that life is more important than anything, I think, at that point.
Well, and even if your party gets crashed, if your child, let's just say your high schooler, is having friends over, I mean, I hate to use this example, especially because it's still being worked through the process of the courts. But what happened in Shelton that resulted in the death of a Fairfield Prep student and two other students who were stabbed. That was a situation where it was controlled. I'm not saying that I had good, bad, or indifferent that there should have been drinking going on, but that was a controlled situation and it was crashed. And I'm wondering if would it have been a good call to just immediately call police and say, listen, there's a bunch of kids here, did not invite them, even if it means that you get slapped with a ticket or something like that. Hey, you've allowed underage drinking. But again, better than the outcome, which was that there were three kids whose lives were at risk and one was lost at that party.
Yeah, no, I would agree, especially if your party's crashed, right? So if you have a controlled environment, and you know who's there, and you're controlling, what beverages that they're drinking to make sure they're not drinking illegal beverages or beverages that they should not be drinking. And if that party gets crashed, yeah, you should call the police and get those individuals who were not invited out of there. And sadly, if there are some consequences, we'll deal with that afterwards. But you should call law enforcement if your party is crashed and someone brings an element into your party that you don't want. So you should be proactive about that.
We have Chief Roderick Porter here with the Bridgeport Police Department, and we're talking about being ready for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. If you have any celebrations that you're going to be enjoying this upcoming weekend, we want you to do that, but we want you to be safe while you do that. So I'm going to go to kind of an uncomfortable place. I'm just being honest with you, Chief Porter, but I want to make sure that I cover as many things as possible. Let's talk about the importance of traveling in a party versus alone. We've heard a lot of national stories, people even using rideshare programs and awful things happening. Could you talk about the importance of, whether it's traveling or even just being at a public place, especially with drinking going on, the importance of never traveling alone?
Yeah, that's one of the points I was going to make. It's like it's always better to travel in numbers. Don't go off on your own. Don't go off with strangers. If you're in a bar, watch your drinks, right? If you're having a drink, keep your drink where you are. Don't walk away and leave your drink unattended. It's just better, more responsible behavior. If you go out with a group. And if you're with a group, the group should be aware of their members in their group and make sure that they don't wander off on their own if they have too much to drink. I think that's a really good point to make, Melissa.
I mean, I was going to kind of go there. I mean, date rape, drugs, that's still a thing. right? That still happens, not just at college campuses. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, so you need to be aware of who gives you a drink and make sure you know the person that's giving you a drink. And also monitor your drink. You know, monitor your drink. Don't leave it unattended.
And, I mean, the other part of this, too, I was sort of hinting at is making sure that you're protecting yourself from sexual predators, especially in public places. I mean, I'll sometimes watch these different videos on social media that show you different signs and symbols you should use and hand gestures to let your friends know or to let bartenders know that you feel you're being threatened or you feel like you're in a vulnerable place or that you're uncomfortable. I mean, is that something that you should be talking to your friends about or I mean, I don't know what you suggest.
No, I would definitely say you should talk to your friends about, you know, some signs of that I'm in distress or I'm not comfortable with this situation, you know, and so that you can let someone know that I'm not comfortable with this person that's near me. And then, you know, worst case scenario, you just yell and just say, look, get away from me. I'm not comfortable with this situation. So definitely have a plan so you can let your group know if you're not comfortable with a particular person. And if you're in a crowded place, bring attention to yourself or bring attention to your situation, whether you have to yell or wave your hands or, you know, yell at the person to get away from you.
So I can't say I've gone out for any social gatherings of this caliber since I was in my early 20s. So I might be dating myself here a little bit, Chief Porter, but go with me on this one. I was always called the mom of my group because I totally believe in the buddy system. I will never feel comfortable, even to this day, if people don't tell me that they're home safely. How important is it that no one gets left or that, oh, hey, I'm going to go home with this guy or this person that I met. It's all good. I'll see you in the morning. How important is it that you follow up and actually make sure that this person is in a safe place, that they've made it, and that this person is credible?
I think that's really important. And I think you should discourage that, obviously, if it's someone in your group. If you come with in your group, everyone in your group should leave together. And once you part from your group, there should be maybe a text chain that lets everyone know that we're home safely and things like that. But when your group that comes together should leave together as much as possible.
Okay, cool. So you're fine with me being the lame mom of the group. You're okay with that?
I think we all need a mom of the group to make sure that everyone is safe and responsible.
Cool. So whenever I could find a time machine and I can go back in time, I'm going to take this recording and I'm going to bring it to all my friends and let them know that I was ahead of my time. That'll make me feel better. Chief Porter, I appreciate that. Anything else you want to let people know about before we head into the New Year's weekend?
Yeah, just a couple quick things. You know, if you're going to do fireworks, be responsible, have a water source. And I'm sure my partner, Fire Chief Lance Edwards, would be happy for me to say, check your smoke detectors. If, you know, get fire extinguishers in your house as we go into the new year. If you have Christmas trees still up, make sure that they're watered and they're hydrated. And from the police perspective, you know, there's a historical tradition in many cities where people like to indiscriminately fire guns in the air. I would really discourage that. Please don't do that. It creates a lot of risk for individuals around you, and also it puts law enforcement at risk. So please do not discharge firearms indiscriminately into the air. It's illegal, and it's just not safe for anyone.
Yeah, come on. What? That's ridiculous. I can't. I'm sorry. Sometimes I hear what cops go through, and I don't know how you guys do your job, how you guys and gals do your job. I mean, that just, I can't even believe that somebody would, not that I get the firework thing. That happens, though, the illegal fireworks going off. I mean, that's just a tale as old as time, and it drives me crazy. But people just firing off guns, that's a thing? What, that's a celebratory thing? Like, wah, pow, pow, really? Seriously?
Yeah, unfortunately, sometimes that occurs, and, you know, and we really discourage that. It's
good
not
grief.
Good.
Oh,
not
Chief
good.
Porter.
Our officers, they don't need any additional issues.
No, I feel like no one needs that. Just don't do it. I mean, it's pretty plain and simple. Good grief. Chief Porter.
And it's illegal.
And it's illegal, not to mention it's illegal. So, yeah, don't do it. Good grief. Yeah. Chief Porter, oh my goodness, I pray for you and every single police officer who, by the way, doesn't really take a holiday. Our officers and our state troopers are working more than they need to during the holidays to make sure that you and your families are safe out there. So please follow the rules. be as safe as possible. And Chief Porter, I look forward to continuing having you on the show heading into the new year. I hope you have a safe and happy new year, and I will talk to you in 2024.
Thank you, Melissa, and happy new year to you, too.
Thank you so much. Again, Chief Roderick Porter with the Bridgeport Police Department here on WICC.
Connecting commerce to your community. Bridgeport Regional Business Council President and CEO Dan Onofrio. Now on Melissa in the Morning. On WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
We are just days away from entering into a brand new year, and I want to take a look back at some of the biggest stories in business here in Connecticut that really made a difference to our state or made major headlines. And so who better to go to than our local business expert than Dan Onofrio for that look back. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm good this morning. How are you, Melissa?
I can't complain. Thank you so much. Dan, when I gave you this task to look back at the last year, I know there have been a lot of local business stories that made a big difference to our state or raised some eyebrows maybe. What are some that immediately jumped out at you?
Wow, there's so much that happened in 2023, Melissa. You know, it's hard to pick and identify the one, but you know, I have my own personal thing that which I'll get into in a minute. But you know, we've had locally in Bridgeport, in Greater Bridgeport, we've had so many great developments. You look at the east side of Bridgeport and the Honey Locust Square development. That's going to have a huge impact locally within the east side of Bridgeport. We acknowledged Anthony Stewart and that development project over at the Gala Award ceremony that you were helpful with and MC for us. You know, then you have the larger type stories locally, like the Sikorsky contracts. I mean, there's been a couple, you know, they lost one big one, but then they've gained a couple, which we expected. And I think there's news about them gaining a couple more before the end of the year here. And then the growth of ASML down in Wilton. I mean, gosh, you know, they've hired, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. They have plans to bring on another 1,800 or so over the next couple of years. So there's a lot of these pockets of, you know, larger stories. And then, you know, you see Starbucks, you know, opening throughout Bridgeport and in Stratford and expanding their footprint, Chick-fil-A coming into Fairfield. And, you know, so the Fairfield County has seen a really great year. But I think personally, I think from a general state perspective, whether you're in business, you live or work here, I think the rebranding of Connecticut, moving away from still revolutionary and moving towards make it here in Connecticut.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's important because, you know, we need to – Connecticut is a great place. I mean, we did our legislative survey a month or so ago, and, you know, we're down on ourselves in many ways, in many respects, but we rank so high in quality of life and location, and you know, there's so many positive things. So I think the Make It Here campaign, if we can continue to embrace that as a state, again, whether you're in business or not, you know, and the fact that you live here – then, you know, let's really take that and make it our own and celebrate the things that make Connecticut special, whether, you, again, from a live, work, and play perspective. So I think Make It Here Connecticut is fabulous. I think we all should embrace it. I think it's going to have a tremendous impact for you know, just branding the state going forward. And I know the state at the state level has some really great marketing plans for continuing to brand us and move towards, you know, the new logo and all these other things. So I think that's like the headline of the year in
all
my
right.
opinion.
I don't hate that one, Dan. I think that's a really big one. I was trying to think. I was trying to read your mind and think which one he's going to go with, and I really wasn't sure. That's a really good one. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that is a big deal. I know a couple of other ones that stood out to me. You're right on it. I was thinking Sikorsky. Sikorsky, that was, I know going into 2023, I thought this is going to be the year that I sit down with the CAA. We've got a done deal, cross the T's, dot the I's. We have a deal. And that did not happen. Now, I haven't gotten an update in months about that. Do we have other interested buyers in the Sikorsky Airport?
Yeah, you know, I think I think when we spoke about it last, you know, I think we needed the dust to settle a little bit because, you know, what happened with the CAA, you know, their funding opportunity to purchase that property just, you know, fell through. So I think they needed to kind of reevaluate and look to see, okay, how can they make this work? And I can tell you that they are still very interested. Obviously, the city is still very hot to unload the airport. And as we all know, Stratford is very interested in saying, hey, you know, let's take it on ourselves and we will find someone to operate it. So I think, you know, we'll hear some more news about it in 2024. I think there's still a lot more work that needs to be done, but I don't think the CAA is completely, you know, out of the picture. And I I do think, you know, we'll see some other operators and airlines have an interest, you know, with the regional travel, whether commercial, you know, passenger, whatever it may be. I think there's still interest in Sikorsky and Stratford-Bridgeport area for that airport.
And we have Dan Onofrio here of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council talking about some of the biggest business news that happened here in Connecticut. Another one that stood out to me was Norwalk, seeing some major names leave Norwalk. Pepperidge Farm closing. It's set to close for, I believe it's, what, 2025? They're set to close their office, their headquarters there. Campbell Soup set to close as well. I mean, there were a couple big major headquarters that sort of started right here in Connecticut and are now closing their doors, which was pretty big news too.
Yeah, you know, and I think we're going to continue to see that as the office space, the commercial office space, is still going through. You know, I think, you know, we talk about it all the time on our Economic Development Committee meeting at the BRBC, and you know, there's a trend. We're still not sure what that market's going to look like. And I think as leases come up, you know, businesses are taking a really hard look, particularly with inflation and everything else going on in the business world, that, you know, they're reducing the size of their footprint, you know, because we realized through the pandemic that, hey, we can actually make this work, you know, without having a strong office presence. So you're seeing these headquarters, you know, downsize, relocate, move to other markets. You know, and in some cases, it makes a lot of sense. In other cases, you know, it's unfortunate for Connecticut. But I do think, you know, we have a really great strategy at the state level and within our respective regions to really focus on a particular industry. You know, and you're seeing that in down, you know, if you go further down south in Stanford, you know, the info tech and digital data media market is really hot to trot. There's so much development happening there. The fintech market in Hartford. You know, biotech in New Haven. And, you know, Bridgeport, I think you're going to hear a lot about, you know, the energy space in the coming months, as well as the you know, the focus that we've been doing at manufacturing. So, you know, every community has a little bit of a reinvention in how we pitch it, but the state's been great. I got to give a hat tip to Governor Lamont and the Advanced CT folks and DECD, Department of Economic and Community Development. Yeah, they've really done a great job, I think, of working with businesses and really trying to focus on, okay, what markets make sense for certain businesses to either relocate here or help them stay here.
We have Dan Onofrio here of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council. And before we get some business advice from Dan, what different businesses should be thinking about, maybe some goals and refocusing for the new year. Another story, Dan, that I thought about that was, to me, it may not have been front page headlines, but it's been really neat to see the changes over the last year. The Trumbull Mall has gone through a lot of changes. And I think that's a big success story. I think they cut ties with Sequest, which was a huge win, honestly, for the mall and for the community. But it was a big risk because they were paying good money to stay there. They've transformed all of those apartments on the outside area. They're still like in the rebuilding phase, but they're staying alive. I think that's another big local story that, you know, is kind of still in the works. But it's been amazing to see that transform over the last year.
Yeah, and I think we'll continue to see a lot more. You know, as you noted, the town of Trumbull is doing a feasibility study. They've hired some consultants, to help us identify, you know, what the best and most productive use of the mall will be in the future, because all these malls are changing across the country. You know, but the fact that those apartments on the outside there have gone up, and you know, they're starting the leasing process, and there's a waiting list, I believe, for them, if I'm not mistaken. And it just shows you that there is a bit of energy and emphasis on that particular property there. And, you know, we know it's a fact that the mall is the highest taxpayer in the town of Trumbull. So they really need to figure out, how do we make this sustainable in the future? And I think there's a lot of really innovative and creative ideas that we've heard about. We'll see what happens in terms of getting the right partners and all that stuff. But you know, I think I think the town's happy with how the mall's performing at this time. You know, could it be better? Of course. But I think we're going to see more news about the future of that mall in the coming year for sure.
So we have Dan Onofrio here, who I consider to be one of our business experts on the show. He comes on every week, and he will continue to do so, as far as I know, until he quits. He will continue to do so every week going into the new year. And speaking of 2024, Dan, what would be your advice for businesses as they refocus in the new year? People are coming back from maybe the holidays and having time off. What would be some of the goals that you think workplaces should start implementing or thinking about going into kind of a refresh, a pressing the restart button?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, Melissa, because really, it's in my opinion, it's dependent on the sector where the business operates in, right? I mean, obviously, some larger businesses, they're going to have a little bit more emphasis on workforce development and, you know, perhaps, you know, as we talked about before, you know, what their footprint looks like and look at their overhead and all that stuff, which, you know, carries on into small business, too. You know, keep in mind that this coming year is going to be an election year, right, at the national level, and that always brings a little bit of uncertainty and, and, you know, particularly in the consumer markets where people get a little bit more disenchanted with, you know, how government works and all that stuff. So I think from my perspective, and again, this is just my opinion, but I do think that, you know, that customer experience is going to be very important, particularly for smaller businesses. And when I say that, you know, it's not just the personal touch. You know, you're going to hear a lot about AI going into the future, going into the 2024 year, and how businesses, no matter how big or small, can implement AI into their day-to-day businesses. You know, as you go online, I think you're going to start seeing more prompts, more interaction with businesses, not necessarily with a person, but with these chatbots. And how can you leverage that technology to improve your service, I think is going to be a trend that you're going to hear a lot about in 2024. And I think that impacts both small businesses as well as the larger businesses. Beyond that, Melissa, you know, I think this is a great week for a lot of businesses. It's a quieter week for some, you know, with this lull in between Christmas and New Year. You know, it's a good opportunity just to take a step back and really look at your expenses. As I said, going into 2024, you know, we're still seeing some inflationary things. So itemize, you know, what your budget looks like, what your expenses look like, where can you reduce, you know, and I know from, you know, the employment side of it, you know, we still are going to see challenges of retaining our talent. So what can we do creatively? And I think businesses have already done a great job of this, but I think we're going to continue to need to do that as we go into the new year. How can we retain our talent? It's not always with the dollar, right? I mean, we're seeing, as I may have mentioned on the phone, you know, some of our businesses, you know, they're losing employees, not because of salary, but just because of the affordability and cost of living here. So what can we do to help offset that? Give our employees some flexibility with their work schedule, you know, perhaps giving them more time off, whatever it may be. And I think the business community always rises to the occasion in those areas. So, you know, I expect inflation to be a conversation. How do we address that? And I think that there's a few strategies there. You know, again, AI, how can you leverage AI going into your business, going into the future? Mm-hmm. You know, leveraging automation to cut down expenses. And, of course, cybersecurity. I think we talked a little bit about it a few weeks back.
Yeah, that's, you know, got to be an investment. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I think cybersecurity and having somebody make sure that you are secure, I think that has to be, when you talk about budgeting, that has to be a point of reference and just making sure that you're investing in that. I know it can be expensive, but in the grand scheme of things, you want to know that your clients are protected and that that all your information is protected. Yeah, I think that's a big deal.
That's right. And then finally, I would just, you know, put out there for all businesses, again, no matter if you're an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, you don't have a brick and mortar all the way to, you know, the Sikorskis of the world, you know, look to the business council, look to your local chamber as a business resource. You know, we have so many things to offer businesses, whether it's in employment retention, networking, expanding your network, you know, your supply chain questions. You know, we are a great resource for businesses, again, no matter how big or small. So I would just ask, you know, don't forget about your local chamber and obviously the Bridgeport Regional Business Council. I think we have a lot to offer businesses.
Well, Dan Onofrio, we will see what comes in 2024. But in the meantime, I'm so glad to take this look back and certainly be, I think, really optimistic about what will happen in the next year. And I'm excited to go through it each week with you right here on the show. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a happy new year.
You too, Melissa. Thanks so much. Have a great week and the rest of the week and New Year holiday. Be safe. And we'll talk to you in 2024. I can't believe it.
I know, right? Time flies when you're having fun. Can't wait. Dan Onofrio of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council right here on WACC.
It's time to get out and explore. Melissa in the Morning brings you science you may not know on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
It's been a very busy 2023, and we are taking a look back at some of the biggest science discoveries and breakthroughs that happened in the last year. And who better to narrow it down than David Mestre of Science You May Not Know? Definitely David's homework assignment. There was no way I was going to tackle this one. So, David, good morning. Welcome back.
And, thanks a lot.
I can't wait to dive into this. This had to have been a tough one.
Yeah, no, this is a tough one. So it's a couple of, you know, a couple of little tidbits here of, you know, that kind of rounds out the year 2023 in science. And so thinking of your son, I thought, I got to have a dinosaur. It's going to be really important that we have a story
absolutely.
About a dinosaur. So this is a Tyrannosaur cousin called a Gorgosaurus, and they found a juvenile Tyrannosaur cousin fossil. And what was very interesting about this fossil was that it was the only fossil that they've ever discovered that actually had what this Gorgosaur actually ate. And so this kind of gave us a little hint as to the diet of baby Tyrannosaurs. And because we really didn't know what they ate. And so their diet was kind of interesting. It found, or they found, a paleontologist found that the stomach had two pairs of little legs from a another bird-like dinosaur. So baby Tyrannosaurs, they literally just hunt and just chomp away, and they're really messy eaters. They just gulp down their food.
Just total beasts.
Total beasts, yeah. And the bird-like dinosaur that it ate is probably about the size of a turkey. So imagine a Tyrannosaur going around town and just gulping up turkey-sized birds as it's kind of like its meal. And so that was one of the things that was discovered. So that was kind of cool. Another thing that was really kind of fun was last year they published this story about some vertebrae and ribs that were discovered in 2009 in Peru. And what they found was that these vertebrae and ribs were of a whale.
I remember this story, right? It was bigger than the blue whale, right?
It is a colossal whale. It is a colossal whale, yeah. So this thing probably lived around 39 million years ago.
Wow.
And they finally identified this as a new species. It's called the Peru Cetus colossus. Peru for Peru, where the fossil was found. Cetus for whale. That's actually the Latin for whale. And colossus, well, just big.
Massive. And they determined this wasn't the megalodon.
What's that?
That this wasn't a, isn't there like a, isn't there
this
a...
This is not, yeah, so this is not a megalodon.
Not
so this is
megalodon.
Actually a mammalian.
Wow.
And so it is actually related to whales, but it's an old whale species. And so this is not a dinosaur at all. This is much after the dinosaurs. You know, dinosaurs died off around 65 million years ago. This thing existed like around 39 to 40 million years ago. So this is after the dinosaurs. But this is a very old whale species. And this thing weighed about 340 metric tons. This is twice the size of a blue whale.
It's like Monstro from Pinocchio.
Yeah, so this thing, so one of the things that's interesting is how did it get so big? What did it eat? And how, you know, what's its diet? And so one of the things that was kind of missing was that we don't have its head. And so, you know, without its skull, we can't determine sort of what kind of meals it could possibly eat. Did it have teeth? Was it a hunter? Did it eat krill? I mean, we don't know. So we're still looking around in Peru to see if there might be some more of these fossils. Now, going out into the universe, the James Webb Telescope, our most famous space telescope that's out now, was actually able to take some pictures of a black hole. And so using this telescope, it was actually able to image a host galaxy for a black hole that's really far away. And so this black hole is what's called a supermassive black hole. Mm. We think these are monster black holes that are in the middle of galaxies, except this the monster black hole was in a galaxy when the age of the universe was a mere 470 million years old.
Wow.
And so why is that surprising to an astronomer? Well, that's fairly young. And so that adds a lot more to the mystery of how do these black holes get so big? These are million solar mass black holes, billion solar mass black holes. These are massive things. And so you know, we originally thought we knew how black holes were formed. Stars die. The space and the star implode into a singularity, and that's a black hole. But if you're going to get a billion of these things together, how do they form into a supermassive black hole? And so we don't think stars dying enough times, you know, or enough stars dying can accumulate to form a supermassive black hole. So we think maybe there's just a giant cloud that just slowly collapses and eventually implodes in on itself and then makes a black hole. So still, jury's still kind of out, but it's a bit of a mystery. But it tells us that, you know, the supermassive black holes could actually be formed fairly quickly.
That's so insane. And again, we have David Mester here of Science You May Not Know. We're looking at some of the biggest discoveries and breakthroughs in science for 2023. Wasn't this also the year, David, that one of those major telescopes broke or collapsed or something? Didn't that happen this year?
Oh, well, are you talking about the Arecibo telescope, or was it?
I don't remember. It's out in maybe a desert somewhere in America, somewhere nowhere near us, but somewhere. And it didn't it fall? Wasn't there this like crazy video? I feel like I remember watching a video where it collapsed. It like fell.
Oh my gosh! No, I have to look that one up.
I think I'm losing my mind. But as you were talking about this, I thought there was like a telescope collapse. I'm looking it up right now.
All right, good. Yeah.
It was crazy though. But as I'm looking for this. Was it Arecibo? Was it?
Well, yeah, that was a couple of years ago. That one I mourn even to this day.
Oh, in Puerto Rico. Yeah. Wait, that wasn't in 2023. Oh, okay.
No, that was a number of years ago.
Oh,
but I still mourn
fine.
It. Even in 2023, years later.
Yeah.
Still...
Oh, yeah. No, it's at site of collapse. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe I feel like I saw that on the news for some reason in 2023, and I thought maybe that. Okay. Well, at least it didn't happen this year. I know the pain is still there, but at least it didn't happen this year. Okay.
That's true.
Thank God you're the expert here.
There's still thoughts about maybe rebuilding it, but
really?
It doesn't look like it's going to happen.
No. Really? I mean, that would be a huge undertaking.
No. I mean, at the time when it was built, it was the largest radio telescope in the world.
Insane.
It was a giant dish. Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, so crazy. But, so crazy. Yeah. Just days before we go into 2024, who knows what's out there in the science world. But let's take a look back at some of the biggest discoveries and breakthroughs in science for 2023. That was David Mestre's assignment for this week. And he has picked some really great stories so far. And this one I didn't want to cut short. A study that was published this year looking at monarch butterflies' wings. Tell us about this one, David.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're not familiar with the monarch butterfly, or our listeners aren't, the monarch butterfly is world renowned for its incredible migration. And so this butterfly, which is really small little animal, is capable of migrating 3,000 miles round trip. So it finds itself in the northern parts of the United States and eventually finds its way to Mexico, and then it turns around and goes back again. And so this is an incredible trip. And so one of the things that's interesting is, you know, what can help this butterfly in this migration? What are there any certain advantages or traits that it has? And one of the things that was really interesting was some biologists studied the spots that are on the wing of the butterfly.
Like the orange or the black spots on the butterfly?
Yeah, specifically the white spots and the dark areas on the tips of the butterfly wings.
Why did they look at that?
Yeah, so
why does that matter?
It's interesting. So why does that matter? Yeah, sure. So one of the things that's interesting is that when they studied monarch butterflies and then cousins that are related to the monarch butterflies, there are some butterflies that actually do have some of these spots too. But our friend, the monarch butterfly that does the 3,000-mile round-trip migration, those spots actually were about 3% bigger.
Really?
So no other butterfly had that. And in fact, there were even like there are some monarchs that are related to the monarch butterfly that have spots too, but they're smaller and they don't do a round trip at all. They don't have that kind of a migration pattern.
Wow.
And so why do the spots matter? And
right.
So the idea is that the spots actually do something aerodynamically to the wings. And so the thought is that the white spots actually reflect sunlight, and the black areas that are around the spots absorb sunlight. And so you've got the reflecting and absorption of sunlight, and if there's air that's right near that wingtip, what it does, it creates this little turbulence with a little bit of rising air and a little bit of sinking
air. It makes them a little bit more like weightless, it sounds.
Yeah, in fact, it adds lift to the butterfly.
Wow.
And we think just enough lift that it gives them that advantage that they need in order for them to be able to go 100 miles a day.
Nonstop. That's insane.
100 miles a day, yes. Because it takes them almost about a month to do this. This is a three, you know, this is an incredible trip that these butterflies take. And so these particular butterflies that are capable of doing this incredible migration, we think those spots matter. Maybe they do help in terms of the aerodynamics, giving it a little additional lift so that it doesn't tire itself out as it makes this incredible journey in its migration.
Wow. It's kind of like muscles on a human. The more abs you count on a human, you know they could do more pull-ups or something.
Yeah. But it's almost like I kind of liken it to, like, you know, you're a swimmer, you know?
Yeah.
But then there is this thing where, you know, if you could just reduce the drag on your body, you could probably swim a little better. And so they invented this, like, shark skin swimsuit that you can put on your body, and all of a sudden you're just gliding through the water.
Right, or like the bathing caps that they'll put on.
The bathing caps, exactly. Yeah, those things that help you
shave the legs, right? I mean,
yeah,
to just
reducing
cut down.
Drag, exactly. So these are not that, you know, we don't have these traits. I mean, you know, we're not yet. Not yet.
No, we haven't made it yet.
Yeah, our future, we're going to be mermaids in our future.
Honestly,
you know,
we don't know. We really don't know. Just, the world keeps surprising me.
You know, it happened to whales. You know, they were four-legged animals before. Hey, you know what? I think it's better in the water. And then you just got big.
Science is getting crazier and crazier. Nothing surprises me anymore.
We will be an aquatic species before you know it.
Oh, man. Part of your world. All right. Well, that's pretty neat. I think that's amazing.
Evolution.
But now I'm torn, David. See, I learned two really big animal stories this year now, and I'm torn as to what I want to be in my next life, because remember there was that type of penguin who could take 0.5 second naps like 700
yep.
times a day.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure. That's what I thought I wanted my superpower to be, but now maybe I want to be a monarch butterfly.
Penguin.
100 miles a day I could fly? I don't know.
Or you could be the biggest whale in the ocean. There we go.
I think I'm going to stick with the birds. Either I want to be a penguin or a monarch, something with wings.
Yep.
I just don't know which one now. So maybe I'll figure it out in 2024. Who knows?
2024, we'll narrow that down.
Oh, my goodness. Amazing. David, you nailed your homework assignment. A+
Thank
for
you.
You.
Thank you.
Nice job. I love it. We'll see what 2024 brings in the science world. In the meantime, Happy New Year to you, David, and we will talk again next week.
All right. Onward. Take care.
Right, thank you so much, David. Mastery of Science You May Not Know. And yes, David will be here every week for Science You May Not Know. He is a fan favorite. And until he quits, he's not going anywhere, at least as far as I know, here on Melissa in the Morning.